Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Hey, happy hour for you on a Friday night. Gwen and Chris, 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. with us throughout the day from Dodger Stadium. Workouts continuing there as the teams prepare for the start of the National League Divisional Series. If you're just tuned in, we have to hit you with some bad news. Joe Musgrove revealed today that he will be undergoing Tommy John surgery, the result of a UCL injury tear in that elbow. He said pretty significant. Obviously, Joe not going to pitch again this season. Probably won't pitch all of next season. And we heard from Joe earlier on the program today. Choked up a few times talking about, you know, not being able to go out and try to get this World Series for his hometown of San Diego with this group of guys.
Yeah.
But that's the way it is, and the Padres have to move on. Mike Shildt joined us on the program a little earlier. If you missed any part of that interview, you can catch it. Our website, 973thefansd.com, or the Odyssey app. I think it was about 4:15 today. A little before that, actually.
It was.
He called
it was
in
like
early.
4:08.
Okay, thank you, Scraby. 4:08, exact time of Mike Shildt's phone call to us and interview with the skipper ahead of tomorrow's game one.
I don't know what to call a baseball manager. Like, I didn't want to call Mike when I was answering his phone call.
Skip?
I didn't feel comfortable calling him Skip. I didn't want to say, well, hello, manager.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I should just call
Mike
him Skip.
Mike would have worked. I think he probably answers to that.
I grew up with
you just got too much respect for
people
him
in a position of power. I have to say Mr.
This hour is brought to you by the brand new Front Wave Arena. I'm kind of excited about this.
Me too.
It really hasn't been a lot of fanfare. You know?
There should be more.
I think there should be a little bit more. Front Wave Arena, it's in Oceanside. The Clippers, the L.A. Clippers, are going to be taking on the Brooklyn Nets at the all-new Front Wave Arena. Hometown heroes Kawhi Leonard, Norman Powell will hit the floor October 8th. That's not long from now, Scrabe. That's next week.
That's next Tuesday, I believe.
Next Tuesday. One night only preseason showdown. You basketball fans, get your tickets now at frontwavearena.com. And I believe the Clippers minor league, D league, whatever it is, G league, D league, why they change the letter every year.
I think it is the D league.
I think it's the D league these days. But the Clippers team's going to play there. Am I not?
Yeah.
That's what I understand it, right? So you're going to get to see really good pro basketball in Oceanside this year at this new arena. But I really haven't seen or heard much about it.
I've heard some stuff about it, but you're right. It's a bigger deal than I think we've given it credit for.
Well, it's a bigger deal than we've made it. Right?
There we go.
Okay, I called up Front Wave Arena, and I got Frontier Airlines. Why did that happen?
Well, are you going to Denver anytime soon?
No, my Google thing is on the fritz over here.
Yes, the Google thing is on the fritz.
The Google search engine is on the fritz.
All right,
Front Wave Arena in Oceanside, proud home of the San Diego Clippers. That's right. They're calling them the San Diego Clippers, the team that is going to be the feeder team to the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yes.
All right, very good. Dylan Cease is pitching game one tomorrow for the Padres. And he talked to the media, had his press conference. Get ready for game one. Let's hear what he had to say as he gets set to try to get the Padres off to a good start tomorrow.
Dylan, your last start was against these guys. What are some of the challenges of having to do it again in a kind of ramped up atmosphere now?
Yeah, I think, for me, I'm not really looking at it any differently than last time. I'm kind of just, learning from that experience. The biggest thing is just I feel like that gave me a little bit of a kind of an experience and a look into what this will be like. Obviously, it's going to be a little more intense, but if anything, I look at it like it was kind of preparing me for this.
How did you do that preparation, knowing that you could have faced Atlanta and now you end up facing these guys? Like, were you focused on the Braves until you weren't?
I was more focused on what I was doing, kind of working on my mechanics, making sure I liked how the ball was coming out of my hand, and since I just faced them, I have a lot of their lineup kind of fresh in my mind and on, how an attack plan. So it was more of just focusing on putting myself in a position where I feel like I was going to execute as consistent as possible, which for me was kind of work on mechanics.
Barry.
Hey, Dylan. So you've had pretty good success against Ohtani. I was noting 4 for 15, couple of home runs, 4 RBIs. What do you do to basically suppress what he does? And was a lot of this here, or did you face him a little bit in Chicago with the Angels too, last year?
Yeah, I faced him when he was on the Angels. Obviously, he's a great hitter, and you got to mix it up and do the best that you can to not leave over the heart of the plate, really.
Does he have a hole?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get into too many details on anything, but, he's obviously a great hitter. So I'm going to go in with a high level of focus and just attack.
If you give me too many details, you have to kill me. Is that what to tell you?
Yeah, essentially.
Go to Alden and then to Kevin up on the left.
Hey, Dylan, how tough is it for you guys that Joe Musgrove is not going to get to be part of this, at least for now, with you guys?
Yeah, it's unfortunate that he's not performance-wise going to be out there, but he's a big part of our clubhouse and a leader, so he'll be with us in other ways, but it's definitely unfortunate, but either way, we're going to pick up the slack and we're just going to keep moving forward.
Kevin?
As a teammate and rotation mate the first year, what did Joe mean to you?
Yeah, he meant a lot. I mean, he's a great leader, a great teammate. Being from San Diego really kind of helped show me around and show me the culture and everything. So I'm grateful that I was able to, be around him so much this year.
Has there ever been a hitter that you haven't challenged and you're very confident in your stuff? It's good stuff. But you've got Shohei, And then a couple really good hitters right behind him, too. This is a unique lineup, and I just wonder, is that, would you face them differently than you have anybody?
I mean, in general, baseball is kind of a game where, you know, you have to do certain things if you're going to have success. If you pitch timidly and you walk guys or you fall behind, you're really just setting yourself up for failure. So at the end of the day, it's a challenge and, you know, it's difficult, but you got to kind of rise to the occasion and meet it.
That's pretty good, Scraby. I was just kind of, you know, going through my computer here while that interview was playing.
What does that even mean?
Well, what it means is I happened on the stream. And I didn't realize that when we were playing an interview like that with Dylan Cease, that people watching on YouTube could actually see Dylan Cease.
I'm trying to do
that
the video
was good.
Thing. I'm trying.
Wow.
It's hard.
I was impressed by that.
You have to, well, I would I like was to like, give.
I'm like listening to Dylan Cease, and then I'm clicking, I clicked on something, and I go, wait a minute, that's Dylan Cease.
Yes.
Good job.
Thank you. Did you see the shirt he was wearing?
Yeah.
His No No Joe and Dylan shirt.
Well,
I mean, look, knowing what we know now, he knew when he was asked that question that Joe Musgrove was going for Tommy John, which sucks.
Hey, look, Dylan Cease should be thankful to Joe. I mean, Joe put him up in the guest house.
He did.
When he first got to San Diego.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't think about that a lot, but he'd never been to San Diego. His life. And Joe helped him kind of get acclimated here.
Joe also called that team party, I'll call it, before the year, where he got everybody and they went out on a boat and they had dinner. And Michael King said that was one of the best things for him because he was able to get to know the guys off the field a little bit. So, I mean, Joe is a massive part of this team.
And he's still going to be. He's just not going to be able to pitch. And that's a big loss. There's no argument there. All four playoff series start tomorrow. Yankees and Royals. Actually, the first game up is in the morning, Tigers and Guardians, and I almost called them the Indians. The Metropolitans take on the Phillies at 1 o'clock tomorrow, then Royals-Yankees. Now, if you're from my era, Scraby, the Royals and the Yankees played each other in the playoffs. George Brett days, 76, 77, 78, and 80.
But that wasn't the Pine Tar. Any of those were the, they were not the
None
Pine Tar
were the
game.
Pine Tar game, no, but that was during that same era. But the Yankees beat the Royals three straight years, and then finally in 1980, the Royals got the best of the Yankees, and it was Brett who kind of wrapped it up. I remember he had a big home run off Goose Gossage. But my point is, Kansas City and the Yankees have a long history going back of playoff matchups, but they haven't met in a long time. Mets and Phillies have never played in the playoffs. Neither have the Tigers and Guardians. And I'm pretty sure we're all aware what the Padres-Dodgers history looks like in the postseason.
I believe
there's been two meetings. If you're not aware, one was in 2020 and the other was 2022.
Wow.
Well, they would have never played in the playoffs because they were in the same division.
Yeah.
Right? It's only been the last many years where you've had wild cards and all kinds of things moving around. So
I mean, I can't even imagine a day in baseball where you had to be what? You just had to have the best record in
you're going to play the song again. But I'm just giving information.
In
1969 is when they went to divisional play.
Yes.
Before that, there were 10 teams in each league. And if you won the American League, you went to the World Series.
That's so crazy to me.
And if you won the National League, you went to the World Series. In 1969, they split to two divisions, and that was the year the Padres came into existence, along with the then Expos, the then Seattle Pilots, who immediately became the Brewers the next year, and the Royals. They all four came in the same time. That created 2 6-team divisions in each league, and there you had your first ever NLCS, although I don't believe in 1969 they called it the NLCS yet.
What the heck were they calling it?
Just the playoff. I don't know. They didn't have any fancy titles like that back
then.
The
old Haas Radborn Bowl.
It was only 1969. The first National League Championship Series was contested between the Mets and the Braves, Tom Seaver and company prevailing over Hank Aaron and company 3-0.
Wow.
Yeah, that was way back when. Padres didn't make one of those until 1984.
Yes.
When they beat the Cubs. All right, Sam Levitt joins us. We'll get his take from Dodger Stadium. And we still have a countdown ahead, and I think you'll enjoy it. We're going to have some fun with it, with some audio clips along the way. So stick around for some fun as Gwen and Chris checks traffic.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
.519 is the time. Crisello, Scraby, Odyssey Palace, Tony Gwynn Jr.'s in L.A. So is our guy Sam Levitt. And if you're listening to the game tomorrow night, or even getting ready to watch the game, you're having a watch party somewhere, you're not going to be ready for Padre baseball if you don't listen to Sam Levitt's pregame show, which starts at 4:38 tomorrow afternoon. Hi, Sam Levitt. Thanks for being with us. I know you're worn out already after calm before the storm today turned into a storm with this unfortunate news with Joe Musgrove.
Yeah, obviously, we knew Joe was getting the MRI yesterday, and I still think, based on how great Joe was before Thursday and just Joe in general, how tough a guy he is and how much he's meant to this organization, I still think pretty shocking news coming out about Joe having to undergo Tommy John surgery. And obviously it means in all likelihood he'd miss all of next year. And hearing from Joe and how emotional he was, and I'm sure you guys played some of the audio a little bit earlier, you feel for Joe Musgrove. He's somebody who, if you didn't believe it already, you certainly believed it as he, you know, went through the last few months and what he'd been feeling the last few weeks. You want to talk about leaving it all out there and giving it your all? Well, Joe literally pitched until he couldn't pitch anymore because of what was going on in his elbow. And we find out today, obviously, that the situation was bad enough that he needed Tommy John. So, yeah, it's quite a juxtaposition between the excitement and the hope of what this NLDS could bring and what this postseason could bring with the way the Padres are playing. Then you put that alongside, obviously, tremendously disappointing and sad news that Joe Musgrove's going to be gone for a while.
Scraby, was I paying attention to Sam Levitt there, or did he just say the word juxtaposition?
No, he did. He said juxtaposition. Wow. I can't even say the word juxtaposition.
Barely. My goodness, at the end of a long day, even.
For all the people out there that don't know what juxtaposition
don't
means,
really know, honestly,
what is the definition?
I think it's just kind
well,
of...
Well, I think...
Go ahead.
I think juxtaposition means, like, when you have two things side by side and they're very different, or you're comparing two things and they're very different.
Very good, Sam Levitt.
That's
very
Sam
good.
Has the, that's why Sam's in his position.
That's why
he
we
can
keep
use
him
words
around.
Like that.
That's why we keep him around. All right, so what's the feeling with the Padres? I know everyone was asked about Joe today, but, yeah. You know, you still got a series to go tomorrow and, you know, a big one that we all can't wait for, Sam. I mean, give us just a little, kind of a little feel. As far as the team is concerned, you know, with on the eve of this series?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. Number one, much like I said before, they played the wild card series. They had a workout here today. They did extensive defensive drills. They hit on the field. And it was the same as it was before the Atlanta series, and just a very calm, confident-seeming group. And Jerickson Profar talked about it during his press conference earlier today. You know, when asked about comparing the 2022 run to where this team is this year, you know, when he talked a lot about throughout the press conference about this team just having a certain confidence to it. You know, to me, I think that's what we're learning from, you know, these early postseason games and what some of the guys are saying. You know, when you compare it to 22, not that it's, you know, a direct comparison, but obviously you can make it with them playing the Dodgers again in the NLDS. You know, I think you could argue this group has just a different confidence to them than maybe even that 2022 group did, where it was a little bit more of a surprise run. They had to get through two 100-plus win teams. You know, this team, I think, expects to go out there and win and has the confidence right off the bat that they can really hang with anybody, including this Dodger team. So, to me, still a very confident, you know, but, you know, disciplined group, and I think they played that way really for months now, and I think they're viewing this series against the Dodgers like that. I don't think they overlooked the Dodgers at all. Obviously, the Padres had a lot of success against them in the regular season, which you can hang your hat on and is great, but I don't think they think that really means a whole lot once it gets this time of year, and they've got to be ready to go, obviously.
I have three words for you and letting you off for the rest of the evening, Sam.
Well, you determine Sam's schedule now?
Well, I hope he's off for the rest of the evening.
I would
what
hope
more
so
does
too.
He still have to do?
I don't know.
What he needs to do is jump in his car and find Pink's Hot Dogs.
I'm sure Sam has done that already. Have you done that, Sam?
Do you know Pink's Hot Dogs, Stan?
I've never even heard of it.
Really? This surprised me. Sam's a very cultured person, so he knows this stuff.
It is the go-to place for all really cool Hollywood types to go grab a wonderful, one of the best hot dogs you'll ever have in your life.
I got to be honest with you. I'm really not a huge hot dog guy. I mean, I'll eat a hot dog. But I don't feel any great need to go out of my way to.
I was trying to get you to hang with the trendy people.
Sam hangs out in a baseball stadium for half of the year.
Well, I will say I do have a favorite L.A. breakfast spot near my brother's apartment in West Hollywood. But I'm not staying there. This trip, so I'm quite a ways away, so I got to figure out some places to go tonight and tomorrow and all that. But I'll Google it up, Chris. I'll give it a fair shake as far as research.
Take it under advisement.
Text Tony and tell him you want to join him for his birthday dinner.
Yeah, we can tell you where Tony's going for dinner. You could just show up. We know where he's going, Sam.
All right. Sam's an important person. We're just taking his time now. At this point.
We're having some fun. Sam, have a great weekend, man. We'll see you next week back here.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, there you go. Sam Levitt. Our guy. Sammy.
Yep. That's
I understand why he's angry right now. You beat him by 2 points in fantasy football. Not in just this league, but in another league.
We haven't even talked about it. But
really?
Honestly, he's been so busy. We've been so busy.
You sound a little bitter there, and I think it was because of you.
Well, I played him in two leagues last week.
Two leagues and beating him by 2 points
in both games. Like a combined 5 points.
Yeah, he's not happy with you.
Sam seems not so bad, though.
No, he's doing all right. Everybody in our league, in our work league, is pretty much 2-2. A couple people are 3-1.
You know who's number one in our Padres media league?
I don't.
Kevin Acey is undefeated.
Kevin Acey's got a 4-0 team, huh?
Yes, he does.
Good for him.
Yeah. Only guy who's undefeated in that league.
Yeah, nobody's undefeated in our league here.
No?
No.
I haven't really checked the standings because I'm waiting for it to get some more games.
Spread out a little bit. Still early in the season. All right. Speaking of fantasy football, there's a lot of injuries in the NFL. My goodness. And there's byes this week for the first time.
Yes.
I think the Eagles are off this week. The team that used to play here is off this week. There's a couple more. And so I think the Lions are off this week. There's some really good teams.
Did you say the Eagles? Sorry.
Yeah, I said the Eagles. But you look at players that aren't playing. The Buffalo-Houston game, there's like three Bills starters out and all the Houston backfield is out, Joe Mixon and a bunch of guys. Austin Eckler may play for Washington, but Ryan Robinson may not. Watson and Dobbs, the Packers wide receivers, are both out against the Rams, who are still without Cup.
And Puka.
And
Puka's sitting on my bench just
waiting
to play.
Davante Adams and the rest of the Raiders are out. Crosby might be out for their game against Denver.
He was out last week, too.
Injuries are a problem. Jonathan Taylor, Colts, not going to play. Quarterback Anthony Richardson, maybe. And then there's this story. Scrabe, I saved the best for last.
Oh, gosh.
Sunday's game at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. Home of your 49ers.
Yes, the Santa Clara 49ers,
that's right.
I might add.
Taking on the Cardinals. According to AccuWeather, the high for the game will be 99 degrees, which will be the hottest game in the 11-year history of Levi's Stadium.
That is hot. You know what? Everybody tells me that stadium is directly in the sunlight for the most part, and it's not built for hot days. So everybody, make sure you drink your water. I also saw that the 49ers tried to change their uniforms to the white ones at home.
League wouldn't let them?
The league, you have to put it in for it before the year. So
yes,
you can't change your uniforms just because the weather's hot, which I think is stupid. Because you're the
home
team.
It seems to be if maybe by Tuesday or Wednesday decide.
I guess Kyle Shanahan asked on Monday.
Is it that hard for the other team to, you know,
maybe
go find their other ones?
I'm actually pretty sure it's got to be hard because
the NFL is really weird on uniforms. I mean, we've already been through the thing about the socks and the belts and the fines you get if you don't.
Yeah.
The fashion police, as it were, with the NFL.
I remember working with a guy who his job was to go and look at the uniforms when the Chargers were in
Willie
town.
Willie Buchanan.
Well, there was another guy, Niall Diggs, who...
Oh, Niall did
he
as
did
well?
It at the end, and would like say that people would try to hide these certain things in their uniform. But, yeah.
Yeah, the uniforms are a little crazy. There's one more NFL story that's interesting. Just a quick thought while we have a second. The NFL says it's not going to mediate at all as far as the potential return of Tua Tagovailoa. They're not going to get involved with their doctors and people. It's like going to be up to Tua and the Miami and his medical people, and you know they're going to have to decide. The NFL's not going to require him to do this, that, and the other.
Well,
jump through a hoop to play.
I'm just surprised that the NFL is willing to take on like risk and liability.
Seems a little weird. I would think that they would get involved here.
Being like, no, we don't want you to play because if something else happens, you can blame us for it. But here's a piece of paper that you'll sign your life away and you can't sue us at all.
Dolphins, by Sunday night, will officially be the worst team in football.
Are they going to lose to the Patriots?
I would think so. I mean, they can't gain a yard right now. Why? How are they going to win the game?
They were so... I'm sorry, Chris. Your team...
They're terrible right now.
But they were so... Their offense was so inept on Sunday that they had Tyreek Hill running like five he had five rushing attempts in the game, four or five rushing attempts.
Oh, they could do nothing in that last performance.
Glad I drafted Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, it's a tough day. Well, I will say this. Tyreek was open for two bombs in that game Sunday night or Monday night. And who's the quarterback? I don't even know our quarterback
Tyler
is
Tyler Huntley.
Huntley missed him on both.
I think Tyler Huntley's going to get better here this week because he's going to have more time.
That'll help.
Because I was listening to something. Their playbook is so crazy, and they have so many different variations of base formations that he basically had like one-tenth of the playbook.
All right. Well, we'll see if the Dolphins.
Jacob
can do
says the
anything.
Jags are winless, Chris, with a crying emoji.
And the Dolphins beat the Jags, but I don't think they're better than the Jags.
Jags have had some tough goes at it lately.
Including their victory. Do you know how many seconds and minutes the Dolphins have been ahead this year?
2 minutes.
0 minutes.
Was that zero in regulation win or end of regulation win?
The only time they were winning the Jags game was at the end on a field goal as time ran out. So they were never actually ahead during the game.
That's crazy.
And they've been behind in all their other games.
We're on week five now.
I'm telling you, we're bad.
We're bad.
All right, welcome back. Glenn and Chris wrapping things up here. We got a little bit to go. 5:38 is the time. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, following the show tonight at 6 o'clock, the Scraby Chronicles are back on the air.
It's been a while.
When was the last time you had a Scraby Chronicles?
Like, honestly, probably a month, maybe?
It's been a little bit.
And we're going to, I mean, as soon as the Padres win the World Series, we're getting back to
our regular schedule.
Three time a week Scraby Chronicles until January. Then you got five times a week Scraby Chronicles.
Oh, man, that'll be awesome.
I don't know.
You don't think you can pull it off?
I can definitely pull it off, but I need to come up with some more stories like frogging. Remember that, Chris? Frogging, where the people live in your attic and then they come down and steal stuff from your house.
Scare you.
Yeah.
All right, let's do a fun countdown today. Last night, Pete Alonso hit one of the greatest home runs in the history of the New York Mets, certainly. And the Mets have had a few, but it's going to be hard-pressed to beat that one, right? Three-run homer, wins the series. It was the first time anyone's ever hit a game-winning home run in the ninth inning when their team was losing, turning them into a winner in a winner-take-all Major League playoff game. It never happened before. So, you know, that was pretty special.
Yeah.
Got us thinking about what are the greatest home runs in the history of the Padres? Today's countdown after traffic.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center. It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is The Countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, what do you have out there for the greatest home runs in the history of the Padres? Our countdown. Away we go with...
Oh, you want me to hit the number? I thought you were going to say the category. I was like, what?
I already gave the category. The greatest home runs in the history of the Padres.
Okay.
Gave the category. So here we go.
Okay.
Number five. For me, I'll go first.
Okay.
I decided.
Okay.
I'm going back to October 1st of 2020. And I think everybody's got to remember where the world was on October 1st, 2020. We were in a deep depression as a, not a country, a world, right? We were in the midst of that COVID. It had just started 6 months earlier. They somehow managed to play some baseball, but there were no fans in the stands. And the Padres made the playoffs that year.
I know.
And they were playing the Cardinals, and they lost the first game of a best of three. And they were losing game two, 6-2 in the sixth inning. Mike Schilt was on his way to piloting the Cardinals to a series win.
That's crazy, by the way.
When Fernando Tatis Jr. bombed a three-run homer and got the Padres back in the game before the dust had settled. Manny homered. Will Myers hit two. Tatis homered again.
Yeah.
And the Padres rallied to win 11-9. And that was the one that turned it around.
The 2-2. Fernando, a high fly ball to deep left field. Car rushed Baseball going. Long on for El Nino. Won't be his last playoff appearance. Won't be his last playoff home run. Now we got a ball game right here. A one-run lead for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Hey, good to hear Ted on that one.
That's going to be my number four, actually.
Okay.
But I got to tell you that I was lucky enough, in a humble brag, I put this on Twitter.
You were there, were you
I
not?
Was at that game, and I was at the home run that Fernando hit against the Braves to go up 2-0 in the bottom of the first inning. But what I could tell you about the first one in 2020 was that that game felt bleak. It felt over.
Totally over.
It felt like there was no chance the Padres were coming back. And then Fernando hits that, Manny hits it, and then everything opened up from there.
And then they won the next night, and they won the series.
My number five is going to actually be this one. I mean, it's not the full highlight, but it spawned this.
Hurt the pelota big time.
And that would be Franmil Reyes basically hitting the ball to the parking lot. And I know that Chris thinks this may have been the longest home run of Petco Park.
I think it's the longest in the history of Petco Park. I don't know what the measurement said. The measurement says it was Schwarber, actually.
Yes, it does.
But the Franmil one is still bouncing somewhere in the gas lamp district it was hit so far.
Yeah, I remember that one, and it was great.
And that was what Ted said after that one hit.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Ah, way to go, Ted.
Yes.
All right, number five, Franmil.
Yeah.
I love it.
Uh-huh.
I love him getting into the countdown.
I know. I miss him.
All right, my number four. Number four, a home run of all time for the Padres, happened on October the 10th, 1984. And it helped the Padres win the only World Series game they have ever won.
High fly ball into left field. Back goes Jones. Away back. It's gone.
Sorry, I forgot to add this part out.
That's okay.
It's still fun to remember at some point. To come back in. He's still letting the crowd do its thing.
And he's still running the bases.
I don't know if Vince Cole ever says anything.
Maybe he never did say anything again.
Wow. I don't think he does, actually, Chris.
But we'll say it for him. It was Kurt Bevacqua, of course. That was a three-run homer. Came in Game 2 of the 1984 World Series. The Padres would go on to win 5-3. And it was the only win the Padres have ever had in a World Series game. Bevacqua was heroic in that one. He was the DH in that game. All the way back in 1984, because it was the year that the American League rules were used in the World Series. Obviously, back in those days, the Padres never had a DH.
That's true.
But because of that, Bevacqua was in the lineup, and he connected on that memorable shot.
My number four, I already said, was the Fernando against the Cardinals.
So. All right, that moves us to number three.
Number three.
It happened June 25th of this year. And here's the deal. The guys hit more home runs than anybody else in Padre history, so I had to choose at least one from Manny. And I was there, and if you were there, you know what I mean. The whole thing had happened with Profar getting hit, the benches cleared, the whole everything, and then Manny stepped up against the Nationals.
Here's Machado. And he swings at the first pitch, hits it a mile to deep left field. What an answer from Manny. Maybe the longest homer I've ever seen to left at Petco Park. 2-0 San Diego in the bottom of the first inning. And Profar raises his hands as he rounds third base.
Yeah, that was exciting. I mean, you're not supposed to cheer in the press box, but it was hard not to after that one.
I don't know how you cannot. Like cheer in the press box
because
after that.
Nationals. I mean, the whole thing with you mentioned Winker and just you hated the Nationals at that moment, and man, he just stepped up and sent it into orbit.
He really did.
On the first pitch.
I mean, Jesse, like off the bat, it does definitely look like one of the longest home runs of all time.
Yeah.
But it ended up it was high. It was very high.
It was way up there, yeah.
We're going to get Don Orsillo's call in just a second.
Got that one too?
No, I think I...
If you have it, man, Don Orsillo really was... He was fired up for that home run, if I recall.
Yeah. Oh, he was definitely fired up.
Yeah.
He was geeked up. We'll find that. But my number three we're on is going to be another game, Chris, that you were at, and it was this one.
First pitch on the way to the right-handed hitter is swung on, hit in the air, out to left field. Connor Joe's running back, still going back, looking up, gonna go! A grand slam for Drury! First pitch he sees in a Padre uniform. 5-0 San Diego in the bottom of the first inning.
That was electric! Yeah.
I wasn't there.
Scrabe.
You were there, but I heard, because this trade was so big, getting Juan Soto's
first game, yeah.
Everybody's going to, you know, the Padres are going to win the World Series. Everything's fine.
I never thought they'd lose a game after that, you know, first inning.
I have never heard this in my neighborhood before, but as Brandon Drury hit that, I heard cheering in my neighborhood.
It was
people.
So loud at the stadium. Honestly, other than the playoff and things like that, I never heard it that loud in Petco Park.
It's pretty crazy.
That was a good call. Brandon Drury's grand slam in the very first inning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When Juan Soto was brought in.
Number two.
All right, number two, we got to go back to the 1998 World Series for this one. It's a personal favorite of this show and a personal favorite of just about everybody who's a Padre fan. It happened on October 17th at Yankee Stadium. One of the greatest hitters of all time delivered. In one of the big moments.
Matt Scraby forgot to grab this one.
Oh, you didn't get the highlights?
This is on me.
Tony's home run off the facade off David Wells at Yankee Stadium. Tony Gwynn. You know, the only thing that is a little sour about this, unfortunately, is they end up losing that game because of the bad call on the Mark Langston pitch to Tito Martinez, but this home run, you got it?
It's the TV call, but yes.
TV call, it's all right, I'll take it from Tony. I think. Mm. Oh, no.
Ripped down the right field line at the track at the World Guard. Off the facing at the bottom of the upper deck, and Tony Gwynn goes deep with his first postseason home run to put San Diego out in front 4-2.
Oh, man, what a great moment. Chills for any Padre fan hearing that. And if I'm not mistaken, I have to ask Tony, and he's not here, Tony Jr., of course. I thought that Tony said, you know, they were at the game, him and his family. I thought that the tickets they gave him were in the right field seats.
Yes, I remember that, yeah.
That means that home run sailed over their head.
Yeah, and I remember that his mom told him Tony Jr. wasn't allowed to talk to the fans because they were giving him stuff in
giving
the stands.
Him the business?
And then after he hit that, I think his mom was like, go ahead. Give him the business.
What a moment that was. All right, that's my number two.
Absolutely a moment. My number two is going to be this one, which
had some good ones so far.
Mine are the ones that have happened here when I've been
recently.
Like working. Yes.
Yeah, right.
So my number two is actually something that really started off the whole thing against the Rangers, and that would be this.
See what he does here. Three balls and no strikes. Runners lead at all three bases, and the pitch to Tatis is swung on and hit out to deep right field. It is up and out, a grand slam for Fernando Tatis Jr.
By the way, 2020 was brutal.
So bad. No crowd. No crowd noise, but that was the whole Slam Diego, right?
Yes, that was Slam Diego. Actually, when we later find out, Eric Hosmer did a podcast saying that that's when the team lost respect for Jace Tingler because Jace Tingler didn't stand up for Fernando.
That's right. He said it was kind of a bush league thing for him to do to swing on 3-0.
And the team did not like it whatsoever.
Yeah, well, that was a great, memorable home run. Give Jesse credit for making an exciting call with no crowd noise, sitting 275,000 miles away.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was good stuff.
Number one home run in Padre history for me. There's only one that stands out to me, but I know which one you chose for number one, and I love your selection. But play my number one first, if you would.
Deep right field. Way back. Connor Gunn back to the wall. It's gone! Home run, Garvey! And there will be tomorrow!
Nothing beats it.
It was such a good home run. He got his number retired for
his number retired. Basically for that home run, Don Drysdale on that call. The Garv to win the playoff. On October the 16th, 1990, not number, October the 7th, 1984, The Garve. Toffoli Smith to win game four. And the thing that, about that game, we got another minute before yours. Garvey, in that game, what people may not remember, had already been 3-for-3. And every time he came up, he hit a base hit to tie the game. They kept falling behind, and then Garvey kept coming up and hitting him and tying it up. And then the Cubs got ahead, and then Garvey tied it up again. So by the time he came up for that at bat, you know, he'd already been heroic in that game. And then he did the home run.
And one of the most infamous calls of all time.
Yeah, yes. Right there will be tomorrow. Don Drysdale telling us something we actually already knew.
Yes.
But it was funny the way he said it.
Yours is awesome.
We do have
Don's call of Manny's home run to get to as well. So
all right, we'll get to that.
Here's
too
my number one.
This is a great call by you.
This still, I can't believe it happened.
Nobody can.
Camarena waiting patiently in that left-handed batter's box. Now Scherzer comes set. The 1-2 pitch is hit in the air to deep right field. Oh, no, you better believe it. It's going to go. A grand slam for Daniel Camarena in his second major league at bat off of Max Scherzer. And it's 8-6.
Oh, man. I was on pre and post game that day, and I was like, I remember, what are they doing? Why are they having Daniel Camarena hit? And then boom.
It was 8-2. The game was over. They were going to lose to Max Scherzer until Camarena did that. Good one, Scherzer.
Here's.
All right, let's finish up with this one. This call by Orsillo on the home run by Manny this year was so incredible. And to me, it just encapsulates some of the magic of this entire Padre season. But listen to how fired up Don Orsillo is as we go out.
On, and Manny Machado will see if they can make a pay. High drive, deep left field. Winker back at the wall. Take that, says Manny Machado. Profar's fired up, and he should be. They hit him intentionally, and then Manny hits one out of the yard intentionally. And the Padres take a 2-0 lead. How about them apples?
I love it.
That was a great call.
That was.
All right, good way to finish it up. Everybody, good luck. Have fun this weekend. We'll catch up with you Monday. Stay tuned. Scraby's got some more on the Chronicles. Ben and Woods tomorrow at Ale Smith, yes. 2:30. Padre baseball on the weekend. Let's make it a winning weekend, everybody. From all of us at 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.